Hi folks, the podcast you're about to hear I recorded earlier today with Sinn Féin Senator Lynn Boylan in relation to her bill, which is being presented in the Senedd on Wednesday, and its importance to the Stardust families. I really think it is something that we should all be concerned about. The full version of the podcast where we go into the climate bill, the climate act, the retrofitting scheme, some on the Clareburn coverage of Sinn Féin and politics as usual is available on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. But I thought the bill part and the stuff around the Stardust is too important then to leave that behind the paywall. So I'm putting that out now. And the call would be that if you are active on social media, or you let people know that you do not think it's just that the families will be treated in such a way as to have justice denied by an archaic inquest system. I think that's why this is going out now, going out immediately. As I said, the full version is up on the Patreon feed. Thanks for the support. Give it a listen and tweet and share a little bit of anger, please. Take care.
Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and I'm still on my own. But he rang me last night saying he's feeling better. Hopefully now it'll be at least a good month we could do without hearing Krusty giving out. I wish I could say we're going to have a bit of an up-tempo podcast, but I'm joined by Sinn Féin Senator Lynn Boylan. And Lynn, you've been years involved with the Stardust families and you're about to introduce a bill in the Senedd on Wednesday in relation to it. Unless you've been living under a rock, folks, you'll be aware that on Valentine's Day in 1981, 48 families lost loved ones. Many were injured and no prosecutions. I was going to say no prosecutions actually were successfully taken, but that's untrue. One person who assaulted one of the family members that owned the Stardust, he was prosecuted for an act of what many would say was just simply frustration. But Lynn, thanks for talking to us today.
No, thanks for inviting me on to discuss it, because I think it is important just people know what's happening and why this bill is being brought forward.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation, because obviously the families have now gotten their inquest and they've gotten the thing, but the coroner has repeatedly asked for a jury trial. Why is that problematic in the case of this inquest, Lynn?
Well, I suppose our inquest system is archaic and has been criticised for a long time. In fact, 20 years ago, an independent working group drafted up recommendations saying our inquest system needed to be modernised and to be human rights compliant. Nothing has happened on that. In fairness, I think the Minister MacDougall at the time, he was Justice Minister, did try to introduce legislation, but then the government fell in 2007 and that lapsed with it. But there's been no attempt by the government to modernise the process of inquests. And what a lot of people don't realise is that, one, there's no legal requirement for a jury to be at an inquest. It can be just the coroner. And secondly, the manner in which juries are selected is very bizarre, in that it's the Garda Síochána who pick the jury. Depending on the district, it can be from a panel that they have of people who, I don't know how you get onto their list of potential jurors, but the Gardaí just produce a list and go, here's people who are happy to serve on an inquest. Or else they can go out onto the street and just randomly select individuals. So that's the current system with inquests. And I think anybody listening at home would go, that's just completely insane that the Gardaí are selecting the juries, but especially in the case of Stardust, where the Gardaí are actually a party to the inquest as well, because they will have to account for how they preserved the scene and investigated what took place after it.
If you can be blunt about this, the initial investigations were found to just been haphazard at best and under-resourced, and if I'm going to be kind, negligent in some of the aspects that we've seen. And this is why we're now looking at this inquest, because it wasn't done correctly at the time, according to multiple sources. So, you know, it is actually strange that we're asking the Gardaí to be a party to this. So we fast forward the tape. On Wednesday, you're going to put this bill in. What are you asking for?
Yeah, so I suppose I've been raising it in the Seanad for the last number of months, the whole issue, the issues around the inquest, and sort of out of frustration a few weeks back, I said, look, this issue with the jury is madness. One, that they're not selected the way a jury would be for a court case. It's not transparent in how they would serve on the jury. And also the issue around the payment of jurors. And I kind of was calling on Minister for Justice and the Taoiseach to do something, and said that if they didn't, I would bring forward my own piece of legislation to sort of force their hand, which is what I'm doing on Wednesday. So we're using our private members' time to bring forward a bill which would amend the Coroner's Act. So it would allow the coroner to basically draw up a panel of jurors in the same way that it would be done in a court case using the electoral register, but also then that the parties to the legal case, so the lawyers representing the various parties, would also have an opportunity then to dismiss jurors, you know, without having to give a reason. And that's, again, the way it would be done in a court case. So it just means that it would be completely transparent. I can't address the issue of protection of income for jurors, because opposition can't bring forward bills that would put a cost on the state. But the other issue with jurors on inquests is that they don't have their income protected. So effectively, they have to sit and lose out on either their income or their social welfare payment or their pension. And given that this inquest could last anything from 4 months to 6 months to a year, how you would expect to devise up a panel that would be representative of society that could do that with no money is beyond me. But unfortunately, my bill doesn't address that, but we will be speaking to that point on Wednesday.
It is hugely problematic, whereby, you know, we're talking at this, and you want, if the inquest will take months. You know, it's going to take months, and you couldn't expect someone to be able to sit there, forego their income, and go into financial difficulty simply to sit on this, and that would not be representative of society. Why is it treated so differently? You know, why are the purse strings closed? I mean, every turn so far, by the way, folks, if you recall, Lynn's been on this, as I said, for a number of years, but we've spoken to Dara Mackin, who represents many of the families, and, you know, and just in terms of even getting the legal fees paid, there's been every single hurdle put in front of these families. And to their credit, we're almost here now at this stage, but we're also facing this whereby, you know, justice is comes with a price tag, and the state again seems to have archaic laws. Why would they resist this?
Dan, the payment of jurors, I've been told, if you go on to the Law Reform Commission site, they will say that the payment of jurors has been something that's been vehemently opposed by government going right back to the 70s. They really do not like the idea of paying jurors. And I suppose it's one of those things where sometimes in Ireland people go, oh, but sure, why should the state have to foot up the cost of this? And then you just look, we're complete outliers in terms of the EU and international experience. This is the normal thing, that jurors' income is protected when they sit on a court case. And, you know, and that justice, as you said, it shouldn't be about the cost. It's about access to justice, and there can't be barriers that prevent people from accessing justice just because they don't have deep pockets. And that's an ideological thing in the government around paying jurors. I think it'll be a big barrier to get them to back down on that. But at a bare minimum, you have to have a system where the jury are selected in a transparent manner and not by one of the parties to the inquest.
Well, I mean, Aoife Grace Moore has a piece today, including quotes from yourself, but also more crucially in this aspect, with quotes from a letter that went to the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, saying it's wholly unsatisfactory and indeed unrealistic to expect jurors to serve where they could not be reimbursed for their wages and time. It's not fair to ask people to serve in excess of 6 months. And you know, under these circumstances, it does seem that, you know, we really need to modernize how we do these things. And what are you calling on in terms of the bill? You know, are you expecting any pushback, and what do you want to see happen?
We're not sure yet, because it's all been very quick in terms of the drafting of the bill and getting it approved by the Oireachtas. So we're not sure yet what the government senators are going to do or the minister is going to recommend. My gut is that it'll probably not be opposed, but then they will do what they always do, which is bury, and it just won't progress. So I suppose then it falls again back to the families and to politicians from across the political spectrum and civil society to get behind the families, to put pressure on the government that they can't just bury this. And if they're not going to progress my bill, that they'll then bring forward their own bill before the inquest starts. My big concern is that the Taoiseach was asked about this by an independent TD. I'm trying to think of his name now. But he put it to the Taoiseach around the payment of jurors and the selection of the jury. And what was really concerning was Micheál Martin's response was there's no legal requirement for there to be a jury at an inquest. So we have to be really careful. So while we're focused and rightly focused on how that jury is selected and how they're going to be reimbursed for sitting on it, under no circumstances can there be a case where the alternative to not accepting the bill is that, okay, well, it'll just be the coroner who'll hear the evidence. Because, well, one, in terms of the human rights compliance of it, that the victims, the family's victims deserve to have a human rights compliant inquest that's, you know, the evidence is heard by their peers. But equally, these are families who've had two judge-led inquiries, the first one by Justice Keane, and Justice Keane's findings of viewing the evidence then was that it was probable arson. And that finding facilitated Butterley getting compensation, but more importantly, it tarnished a whole community that they were responsible for the fact that their loved ones died. And that probable arson verdict, that stayed on the public record for 28 years. So you can't countenance a situation where we're going to say to the same families, no, you can trust. And the coroner is great, by the way, and that's no disrespect to the current coroner, but we cannot accept a judge-led inquest.
Well, the coroner themselves has said themselves that they want a juror-based inquest. So you know, taking all the motions out of it, that is how it should be done. Then, best of luck with the bill. I think people should understand that when we push on civil society, there is a huge support for the families. We've seen it at the recent rally where people came out again. It is something that, you know, it feels like there's the public mood is not going to tolerate this yet. Unfortunately, I'm looking at, you know, only today, Claire McGettrick talking about the issues around the mother and baby home redress scheme still not being addressed, and a report that has nearly 1,200 amendments required. So, you know, when we see, sometimes we think we're making progress, it gets jammed up in bureaucracy and in interdepartmental strife. But,
and that's where we will leave that podcast for now. If you want to hear the full version, is available right now on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And we do go into the coverage of Sinn Féin recently, the climate action bill, the budgets around it, and a little bit more on the politics of the day. But I thought it was important to get this out right now. Thanks for listening. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.